pretty scary. Pretty scary boo.
Pretty scary boo.
Pretty scary boo.
Pretty scary.
The other one was so much better.
Boo.
Yeah, you ruined it.
Yeah, well, I had to get up and find our fingers so we could finger each other.
That's a good picture.
So much.
It's a good picture.
So much easier.
You're close.
So close.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, but
there
so it is. Far.
There's my.
It found you.
No. There's my finger.
God damn it.
Oh.
No.
Oh, it's so much easier.
It really is. Oh, very little leaning.
I had it on the wrong hand. All. Yeah.
I like the constant where you like the flashing lights.
I like a flashing finger light myself.
Right. This now we, like now we just middle. Look like a really shitty version of medieval times where it's like you're rooting for the red hand, the green hand, or
hey.
The blue hand.
Okay. Well, I'm blue. Who wants to vote for me? Just send your...
No one ever wants to be on the green team.
Yeah, well...
Green is the color of geniuses. Haven't you seen Meet the Parents?
Yeah,
I didn't choose green, did you, Greg?
Actually,
I haven't heard anybody quote Meet the Parents for... Except for those shitty people that try to pretend that they're not quoting Robert De Niro when they say that you have to earn a cat's respect.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like when people... When people say that to me, I just ask them, I'm like, are you just a huge fan of Meet the Parents? And they're like, no, but it's like, it's true. I'm like, it's two statements there. You are admitting that you're quoting Meet the Parents
right.
when you're talking about your love of cats.
You know what? Okay, hold on.
Okay.
So if you go off colors, which when you're in corporate, you take all these tests about your personality and your personality traits.
Yeah.
So blue is analytical. So I'm going to give that to Caitlin.
Oh, okay.
Green is emotional.
Oh, that's,
give it.
That's definitely Carrie.
To me. Mm-hmm. Wait, no. Actually, give blue to Adam.
Red is driver.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yep.
And what am I? What's blue?
Analytical.
You're analytical.
Oh, sure.
You do
okay.
All the notes. You're the notes taker. So
that's me.
That makes sense that I'm green. Okay.
So we all right, finger me. Okay. We did it. Okay. Caitlin?
Ugh. Don't. There we go.
That was great.
We're fine.
It gets very hot in that foam hand very quickly.
It's going to be hard to tie.
What did you, what's wrong?
What did you do?
This is good. This is good pod. It's good pod. So what are we talking about today?
Okay.
This is a passion project for Caitlin.
Yeah, kind of. I'm interested in something that I didn't know was also like had a term and had. Carrie, are you okay?
Fine.
I'm not going to talk over your fingering yourself.
You can do whatever you want. We're fine over here.
Now there's two of you. Okay, so this thing, this whole idea is called the Vile Vortices.
That's a great name.
I mean, is that the coolest? Why isn't there a band called the Vile Vortices?
We can start one.
Can that? Okay.
Chet should start one.
Yeah, make Chet do it.
I'll make Chet do it.
Okay, thank you. So there
are Vile Vortices at Chet's.
Yes, Vile Vortices at Chet's.
Yeah.
So there are good vortices and bad vortices.
Now, is this like a weather type of thing?
No,
or?
It's magnetic fields.
Oh, good.
Yes. So basically, in layman's terms, a vile vortex is any of the 12 particular geographic areas arranged in the pattern around the Earth. So there are pockets of these vortices, and there's 12 of them around the Earth.
Okay.
There are good ones and bad ones, but there's 12 bad ones. Which is problematic because the areas
that
are
is
actually
a problem.
They're pretty big. The term was coined by this guy Ivan Sanderson, who I'm going to get into in a minute. But he's kind of like if Steve Zuzu and Dr. Doolittle ran at each other really fast.
That's exciting. Yeah,
he's an interesting, weird, and I can't believe this is a real person.
It's and a life story I want to hear already.
I'm going to tell it to you, and I wish somebody would make a movie out of this man's life because it's the weirdest life I've ever heard of. Anyway, he is the one that coined the term and cataloged all of these sites, the vile vortices specifically.
Right.
But he coined another term that we're going to get into later that I find very interesting. So basically, they're all situated. Half of them are situated on one latitude and the other half are situated along the other go ahead.
No, are they on a tattoo on Angelina Jolie's back?
I'm assuming. I mean, that logic only would imply that...
Like, one shoulder has all of her kids' latitude and longitudes of their birth.
Yeah.
The other shoulder has these...
The vile vortices, yeah. I mean, clearly, right?
Yeah.
That seems logical.
Except they're all actually wind tunnels. Instead of vortices, it's like when you get the Chinese symbol for strength and it actually says like asshole on it.
Butt face.
Yeah.
Booger dick.
Booger.
Mr. Booger.
Every
dick
time
man.
I'll fall for
Mr. Snot
for
dick.
That one.
Mr. Snot dick man.
Snot dick.
Snot dick.
Yep, he'll make an appearance.
What about like a tribal tattoo around your
also
arm?
That, yeah. Those could be vortices. Actually, that would be kind of a cool tattoo because if, I mean, we're podcasting and I can't show pictures, but the way the map is laid out is actually pretty awesome. I'll get it to you. So when yeah. if you can post it on the Patreon site, it's just interesting to look at. Or only I find it interesting, which is also completely possible, but whatever.
Could go either way.
Yeah. So there are five vortices that are situated on the same latitude of the south equator. And then five are also, they're situated on the northern equator, and two on the north and south equator, okay? Or north and south poles.
And they're all on the same...
Five and five. So like, you
particular
know,
lines
like if
of
you
latitude.
Squish out the earth, well, no, they're along the same line of latitude.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we're going to read them all off. Some of them you've heard before.
Sing along if you've heard any of this.
So the first one that everybody's heard of is the Bermuda Triangle.
Never heard of it.
Never in your whole life. You never once. Good. Well, I'm glad I'm doing this episode with you.
Me
right?
too. That's this pretty, is all new to me.
Yeah. Then there's the Algerian megalith.
Sure.
Which we're going to get into. The Indus Valley, which is basically a city in Pakistan. Then there is a volcano in the east, basically off the coast of Hawaii. And it's part of the Ring of Fire that everybody knows about. Then there's the Devil's Sea, which we're going to get into.
What a fun name.
The Devil's Sea is really cool. I mean, people die. A lot of people. I mean, so I shouldn't say it's cool, but it's cool. It's really cool.
Well, if they're cool deaths.
Yeah.
Then it's still cool.
Yeah.
Totally.
The South Atlantic Anomaly.
That's in space.
Is in space. Ugh. And that's one of the things that we were talking about earlier. Yep. The Wharton Basin. Is the dark horse, I want to call it, just recently, of the 12 vortices. The Easter Island megaliths are interesting. There is Rio de Janeiro. East Rio de Janeiro is part of the...
Nice.
Yeah. Loyalty Islands.
Mm.
It's about as interesting as it sounds. Then the North and South Pole. So go figure that Santa lives on a vile vortice.
Vile vortice. We're done with your capitalism, Santa.
Fuck that. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about Sanderson before we move on, because this guy is fascinating. He's the one that decided to make this a thing.
Okay.
I mean, he didn't decide to make it a thing, but he named it, and so that's a thing. He was the first person in 1951 to appear regularly on a scheduled full-color television show called The World Is Yours.
Wow.
Right?
That is interesting.
Like, so this guy who is into paranormal shit was also on the first full-color television show.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know. I like that. He also ran what he referred to as an animal business.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope. Initially, need more details, sir.
Okay. Well, guess what? I got him for you.
Nice.
I got him for you. He would just flat out borrow animals from the New York Zoo or rent them. So it just depends. Some of them
still need more details.
Some of them you needed to put a deposit down. Carrie, when I read this, I feel like this is something you would do. Like, if the option was to rent some kind of animal for maybe a party or something.
Why would you say that?
I don't know. I just know that you have a history of renting living things. I just...
Still not familiar.
No? Okay. All right. That's fine. Hmm.
Is that guy who has a zoo show, Jack?
Jack Hanna?
I had a sex dream about him the other day.
You had a sex dream about Jack Hanna the other day? You want to unpack that a little bit?
No.
Okay.
It's just regular sex.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just regular sex, but I mean,
no animals?
He's kind of hot.
Like, not even a horse?
Like a zoo horse? Like a zoo horse that is not gelded, but possibly rapes a man and kills him in Seattle and then gets gelded later?
Those rape claims, it was consensual.
Actually, it was.
Okay, we're sorry.
No, it's good. I'm glad we somehow brought up this story again.
But am I right, though? Jack Hanna's hot.
Jack Hanna's pretty dreamy,
He has a Dick Van Dyke thing going. I get it.
I think he's definitely hotter than Dick Van Dyke. I think, is my age. Because I watched something the other morning on TV.
If it's not a problem for you, it shouldn't be a problem for anyone.
I hope it's not a problem for Jack Hanna. Can he handle all this?
I think he can.
What if I stick this up his ass?
I bet.
Wow.
What if I finger him up his butt?
Jack Hanna, come do this show.
I'm about to prove this, but I think
obviously he'll answer.
I think if you're really into animals, you're probably open to butt stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
That just seems like a natural...
It's a natural progression.
Have you heard that there's a Harry Potter butt plug out there?
That makes a lot of sense. Is there a name for it that's magical or something like that?
No.
It's just called the Harry Potter butt plug?
Yeah.
Not like Hermione's, I don't know, butt plug or something?
I don't watch enough Harry Potter to a reference.
I don't
here.
Know. I just feel like Harry Potter has like a really whimsical, cool name for everything. And for it to just be a butt plug that's... Is it just like, is his head on the end of it? What does this look like?
I don't have details.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
An ex-boyfriend of a roommate of mine might have dated somebody who was into it and talked about it at an open mic.
Was it? Okay.
Finger me.
Finger the fuck out of you.
Oh, man.
Do it. Put your finger on and finger me.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was good.
Yay. That's good. All right. Well, on the note of animal people liking butt stuff,
mm-hmm.
In 1952, our friend, along with his assistant / partner, Edgar Schoenberg.
They had gays in 52.
They had gays. They had the gays. Suggested that they buy animals and put them in a house instead of renting them.
Boo.
What a weirdo.
They bought a zoo, guys. They bought a zoo. Actually, they bought an estate called the Frederick Trench Place, which was a 250-year-old farm and other buildings and 25 acres and land that was basically the ultimate location for an actual zoo that they founded somewhere between Columbia and Haynesburg. I don't know where any of that is.
Is that Missouri, I wonder?
No, it's all East Coast weirdness.
Yeah.
Was this what the Matt Damon film was based on?
I don't know how much butt stuff was in that one, but I'm assuming so.
There was something
so
like
so much butt
zoo.
Stuff. Yeah,
was
no
there a lot
idea.
Of zoo? Or,
were you the one that like wanted to go to the mat for We Bought a Zoo about it being a good movie?
No.
Okay, good.
I've never seen it.
Somebody was like, "Hey, it's good." I was like, "Whoa!"
Morgan Freeman is in it. He voices an ostrich.
The animals talk in We Bought mm-hmm. a Zoo.
That...
I'm really glad I didn't see that.
Actually, I'm lying. It's just like Titanic all over again. Caitlin, wow. What's wrong with you?
Because here's the thing.
Finger me for lying to Caitlin.
Here's the thing, you
have
guys.
Have it at the ready. Please have it at the
finger
ready.
Finger me. Sorry.
I saw Aloha mm-hmm. in theaters, which was his Cameron Crowe's follow-up for some reason to We Bought a Zoo. And Aloha was one of the most bizarre and incoherent movies I've ever seen in my life. So when you told me that the animals were talking and We Bought a Zoo, I thought that could have happened.
Would have made for a better movie, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So in 1954, Sanderson officially established Ivan Sanderson's Jungle Zoo and Laboratory, which I think is pretty great.
I love, like Sad Dog Winery and Academy.
Uh-huh, that's right. Basically, it was a roadside attraction. Now, I just want to reiterate here, this guy probably shouldn't have been running a zoo. In like
doesn't his sound like it.
East Coast farm area.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty much why some bad luck headed his
really
way
quickly.
Eventually.
So a roadside attraction. Like, did people have to buy tickets or did they just like stop as they're on like Route 66? Like,
it's
how did
one of those
happen?
Things. It was during the 50s. So there was a lot of like road
is that
trip.
Like Grapes of Wrath time?
Nope. No, about 20 something years later.
Okay, well, you can give me sarcasm, but somebody thought the NFL was started in the 1800s, so...
I am...
How did I get thrown under the bus here?
Because you were over there snickering.
I was not snickering.
And I also wasn't being sarcastic. I was just clarifying that we were about 20
years
out.
You had a smug Marsha face.
Oh, my God.
You definitely had a smug Marsha face.
I can't address all of your issues in one podcast here, but I honestly...
Like an onion. Peel back one layer at a time. They'll be around for a while.
Yeah. So in February of 1955, the early morning hours of a Tuesday...
Wednesday. Oh, my God.
You're good. It's okay. It's all right. I wrote the thing, but it's fine. It's no big deal. A fire. This is really horrific. A fire came and destroyed his collection of 45 rare animals that they kept in a barn in his New Jersey home. Then Ivan Sanderson Jungle Zoo was flooded out by the Delaware River during the flood caused by Hurricane Diane in 1955. So,
geez, the flood couldn't have come first, at least.
I know.
Put that fire out.
Here's the thing. No. Do you guys realize what February 2nd is?
No. No.
Groundhog's Day.
No.
Do you think that has anything to do with
his
zoo?
That's pretty hilarious. I love that. Yeah, maybe.
Are you giving me two, Marja?
No.
Wow, there's so much tension in the room right now.
I actually
are
like
you becoming my Jeff May.
I think that it's funny that it, I don't think Jeff May knows why he became your Jeff May, and I guess it could happen to me. I don't know. I should have.
It could happen to anyone.
The writing was on the wall. Should have seen it coming. Anyway, oh my God, I just thought that that was an interesting thing. And the other thing that I think is really interesting about Sanderson, which I did leave out here, but he also coined the term cryptozoology.
Wow.
Yeah.
This guy is full of firsts.
Yeah, and cryptozoology is one of those words that...
it's not even like a made-up word. It's like a real word.
No, people use it all the time. And he was a foremost researcher on things like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and all these other things.
What else? Oh, wait.
What does a cryptozoologist do? That's my question.
It's right there.
Cryptozoology. They study animals. It's a pseudoscience.
It's a pseudoscience that aims to prove the existence of entities from the folklore record.
Yeah.
Such as Bigfoot or Chupacabras. I love this guy.
Yeah. He's also one of the guys that was behind the monster of New Jersey or whatever that. The Jersey Devil? The Jersey Devil.
Nice.
He's the guy that kind of got that going. So,
what
anyway.
What is the one thing, though, after sea serpents?
Huh?
Yeti?
With special attention to the search for lake monsters.
Carrie, it's Mokele Mbembe. Jeez.
Okay, so for everybody who doesn't have the notes in front of them, he became known for writings on topics such as cryptozoology, a word he coined, and he also gave special attention for a search for lake monsters, sea serpents.
Mokele Mbembe.
Giant penguins, Yeti.
And Sasquatch.
Thank you.
Oh, you didn't need help with that last one. Sorry.
Yeah, but it is the most fun to say.
Yeah.
Sasquatch. Sure. Finally, Sanderson founded the Ivan T. Sanderson Foundation in August of 1965 on his New Jersey property. And the institute was devoted to studying the phenomena ignored by the mainstream media.
Does it even count if you started on your own property? Like, is this network even real? We just do it in my house.
No, what?
My house.
You do not own a home.
Apartments.
You are not a homeowner. You silly man.
I live in Los Angeles with my made of money.
I don't think I'll ever own a house.
No, I gave up on that one.
I did once, and it's a huge hassle.
Really?
Yeah.
It does seem like a lot of work.
Yeah.
You can't just call somebody to fix something where you don't have to pay for it.
Nah, you have to fix it all yourself. It's garbage.
Really? Where did you own a house at?
South Dakota.
Okay, I was going to say, I was wondering if it was Illinois, but... I forgot South Dakota.
South Dakota's
pretty
cheap.
It's a whole chapter in your life.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just think it's important for us to kind of... It was important for us to understand the oeuvre of which these 12 vortices were named
from. So this is the guy who named them.
This is the guy.
The zoo owning... The New Jersey private zoo owning Ivan T. Sanderson.
That's why he's kind of like Steve Zissou in my head.
I like that.
Because it kind of... makes sense. Like, he, you know, went after a glowing tiger, fish, or whatever. This guy thought all these other animals were real.
So, serious question. Do you think Ivan T. Sanderson had a big dick?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But he was gay.
Really? Well, that wasn't in your notes. Why did you exclude that?
I did, actually. He's his partner / assistant.
Oh, okay. Well, it was
is
like...
the person that convinced him.
I thought like
him.
Business partner.
Yeah, I thought business partner.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, you mean in the biblical sense.
In the unbiblical sense. Yes. Anyway, so I just thought, you know, but I think he's got a big D. He's also Scottish born, which I did leave out of the notes, but then became a naturalized...
He was in Scottish porn?
Scottish born.
Oh.
Which is like Scottish porn.
Carrie, do you watch Scottish porn?
Finger me.
Carrie definitely.
I was ready.
I'm sorry. I have to run the machines.
I know, but it could also be blinking and just
he's
at
the wizard.
Ready.
Yeah, at least keep the lights on.
There
going.
It is.
Thank you again, McHammond.
McHammond, you've given us so much happiness.
This isn't distracting at all.
No, it's not.
Having a flashing finger in my face. I'm
going to
give Caitlin vertigo if I don't turn this thing off.
It's giving me a headache.
Twice more. Oh, I already know how to. I am a genius operating this already.
By the way, Carrie didn't have to even read the instructions for how to operate these.
I can't believe I forgot
fingers.
We had these.
I can't believe either. I mean, we fingered each other a few times in last week's episode, so...
Well, I'm really glad you remembered we have them, Adam.
You're welcome.
It's brought me a lot of joy. Okay, so again,
Whoops.
I'm kind of repeating myself here, but the two big latitudes, Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn. So
right.
There's 12 of these things. So there's 5 in the Northern Hemisphere, 5 in the Southern Hemisphere, and then 2 poles.
Got it.
So I have arranged the explanation and exploration of these vile vortices just based on whether or not they were interesting. So
that makes the most sense.
Some of them are not interesting. Okay, so I'm going to knock them out early.
Really quickly. So yeah. I know America's Got Talent finales are this week. And sure. I'm super excited, as I am. I want to say with that, so you're going to name some things. And I say we kind of treat it like we did the Serial Killer Olympics.
Uh-huh.
Where I say we vote for our favorite one at the end.
Okay.
I'm into that.
Yeah, we got to vote for our favorite one.
Okay.
And so then in that case, I'm sorry I kind of tipped my hand as to what my favorite is, but you two vote. So, or I'll tell you what, you know, but it's okay.
You'll tell us how to vote.
No, you guys vote.
I'll do whatever you want me to.
I love you so much, Carrie.
I love you.
So the first one is the Algerian megaliths.
Now, when they say so these are huge structures of
these
some
are
sort?
Huge unexplained structures.
Oh.
Kind of the Jan Brady of the bunch, in my opinion. Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard of them, so they can't be that awesome.
No one really cares.
But the fact that you wrote Planes Go Missing, you know, I'm fucking terrified.
Okay, so huge overview. Not every vortex is equal, with some showing more activities than others. But in all of them, planes or boats go missing. Yeah. All of them.
Yeah, that's
kind of what makes them
kind of the point of what they are.
Every single one of these points.
Are you trying to one-out me?
Yeah, I was. And I feel like
Jeff to Caitlin to you.
I feel like with your questions, you kind of realize I did.
I honestly think Carrie is very, very, very slowly becoming possessed by a demon. Just very like.
Or she has CTE.
No. This feels spiritual. I just feel like.
Do you think it's because
she's possessed by a demon that has CTE?
I think she's microdosing some kind of weird spiritual. Because every now and then you glaze over and you're like, what's going on, Adam? Why are you being an asshole? And nothing has happened. And I like
but
it.
He challenged me.
I just don't want to get to a place where Adam and I have to learn how to give an exorcism and give an exorcism in the same day.
Yeah.
Which is how we do all of our episodes. So,
right, exactly.
So, yes, our friend Kat Reinhart had an exorcism by accident or whatever. But I do think it's because of Robert the Doll, because he always makes eye contact with me during these episodes.
Yep, you are looking right at him. Okay, so these are giant statues, like we talked about.
Do you care if I Google them quick? Do they look like
anything? Yeah, go for it.
Algerian megalith. Because I saw the Easter Island megaliths on the list, and I know
it's kind of like
a triangle.
There is
a vortex. Interesting.
Oh, they're just
big. No, that's what they think they look like. It looks more like Monument Valley, Utah now.
It looks like something on Lost.
Yeah. Huh. They're definitely man-made, quote unquote.
Yeah.
All of the unexplained aspects of these vortices, a lot of people just explain them away with aliens. So just blanket again, like people go missing, planes go missing, boats go missing, probably aliens' fault.
Always. Aliens.
Really quickly, did anybody here watch Lost?
Yeah.
Do you guys like it?
Yes.
I did too. I bought all the box seasons. That's
fantastic.
It. I just,
it was probably a vortices.
All this stuff kind of reminds me of it.
Absolutely.
And for as much as I don't like weird stuff like their black mist or their polar bear that's unexplained, I thought their stories were very compelling, and I watched all the seasons.
I was comfortable never understanding the polar bear. I can live with a little
mystery. What about the end? So is that just they were in purgatory?
Yeah, that's what I think it is, right?
Yeah, I kind of think that was the problem, is people figured out right away that they were in purgatory.
And
the
they kept
writers
saying they
just had to be like, no, that's not right.
Yeah, it's like
but
my
then
parents,
in the end, they were all like all in church, but it wasn't church.
Yeah.
My parents kept like trying to convince us that there was a Santa Claus, and I was like 15, and I'm like, guys.
No way.
Yeah, it was weird. Anyway, so these megaliths are interesting.
But not that interesting.
Not that interesting. Okay, East Rio de Janeiro. They're kind of the fun aunt of the group.
Sure.
Yay.
Yep, they're pretty tame. Only one vessel has gone missing.
Lame.
They have great tits.
Yep.
Yeah, they do.
And great butts.
I don't even know where I'm pulling that from. Brazil.
Tenate 2, a small boat, vanished without a trace in 2014, with families of those missing raising complaints that authorities seem to, quote, have no interest in finding the ship.
Well, I mean, they're in Brazil, so.
Yeah. Like,
what
I
does
don't,
that mean?
What are they wanting the authorities in Brazil to do?
They're not going
to
do shit.
They have bigger fish to fry.
first.
Which I think probably pulled out of a polluted lake.
Why is Brazil like super dirty?
They're just
Brazil's gross.
They have a whole carnival, which is supposed to be fun.
They have a carnival.
Rio de Janeiro is like the Ensenada of
Do they still sell Fenfen? I'll go.
Of course
I'll
they
go
do.
Tomorrow.
Oh yeah, they definitely do. I mean, I don't want to sound like shitty, but that's the truth.
Do you think that's where Natalie Holloway's body is?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's buried under the Olympic Village.
Okay. So we kind of got through there. And I just think it's interesting that like the most recent case or like one of the only cases is fairly recent, 2014.
Yeah. That feels like they're just trying to angle their way in to the vile vortices.
With all of that being said, it's a pretty fucked up part of the world. So it might it just might make up for it in being it.
Yeah, that boat probably just got stolen.
Yeah, it's just like, well, that's another vile vortice situation.
Yeah.
Along with the muggings and the rape and the kids being kidnapped. That's just,
things happen.
Yeah, things happen.
Shit happens.
Okay, the next one on the list is loyalty.
We're a family podcast. Oh. See, it just takes so long. God.
I know. I mean,
if you could work on a solution.
I'm sorry. Okay, go
Can
on.
Can he just use his finger with your finger?
Oh, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it that way. That's easier.
That is fun.
Okay. All right, Loyalty Islands. We've got missing boats and planes.
But
we also have a missing island.
That's impressive.
A complete island has gone missing. I want to, in my magical thinking, pretend that that's exactly what happened, that an entire island has gone missing. However, they have kind of speculated, because scientists suck, that the island itself never actually existed because it was first documented by whalers that just kind of hit some rough seas and they were like, well, there was an island, so we had to turn around, basically. Yeah.
Were they Japanese whalers?
No, we're going to get to some Japanese whalers. I mean, Japanese seamen. I don't know about whalers, but...
She said Japanese seamen.
Oh,
she
gross.
She said jack-off seamen.
It's a very...
They don't even allow that in Japanese
porn. So anyway,
porn.
Get ready for kids, Caitlin.
I'm ready.
No, I mean, like, we're... Oh, more almost,
got
like,
it, got on it, got
a,
it.
Just a sidebar, we should do an episode about High Brazil at some point. Have you ever heard of High Brazil?
Yeah, can it's we like write that down on a piece of paper
that
or something?
Mythological island off of Ireland or something?
Yes, High Brazil is interesting.
Could you also write down Yasmin Bleeth? I would like to know where she's at now.
Yeah, if we could just dedicate a whole episode to Yasmin Bleeth, just on her life.
She's on High Brazil,
it's pretty
weirdly
scary.
Enough.
Yeah. The island is called Sandy Island, and the definition, or just in Google, they just flat out say is a non-existent island. But you can find, okay, a non-existent island. Whoa.
Yeah. What happened there? There we go. Sorry about
that.
I got
confused. It's a non-existent island that was charted for over a century as being located near the French territory of New Caledonia, between the Chesterfield Islands and the Nerfus Reef in the Eastern Coral Sea. Okay, again, they think this island never existed. But I do think it's really funny that these whalers said there was an island, and then cartographers over and over again were like just constantly plugging this island into the map over and over again.
So cartographers.
Map makers.
So they
Jinx,
take
you
their,
owe me a Coke.
They make their pictures from above, from like a plane, from...
No, in the beginning there were no... No.
They, so how did they do it?
Aliens.
That's a whole other...
Yeah, robots.
That's an episode of Pretty Scary. There's actually some really interesting ways that people used to make maps. Like the ancient Samoas were able to chart perfect maps just based on understanding the ocean.
Well, then don't... You know! That. I just love that you know the arbitrary fact. I would never know. Ask me anything about Yasmin Bleeth. I probably do know. I don't need to do an episode on her.
I want to do that Yasmin Bleeth episode, though. I'm really excited about
it now. That's going to be the free episode for sure. Yeah. We share our research and comedic chops with everybody. All right. So that's that about Sandy Island. But
Sandy Island.
What I like about Sandy Island...
Better not fly your planes there!
...is because...
I don't know what... Go on.
That was really good.
I don't know what that
Better
was.
Not fly your planes there!
Fly your plane there!
Fly your plane
there!
Yeah, it was good.
Okay. Oh my God, you can fly my plane!
there, what I love about it is that there are people on the internet that are like, oh no, the island was there and now it's gone because right. of aliens.
Exactly.
It's the best. So yeah,
that's where I first heard of High Brazil was on Ancient Aliens.
Yeah. This, by the way, is an episode of Ancient Aliens. This whole...
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
All of it is. They did a whole episode...
Well, I've definitely heard of the next one on Ancient Aliens, Mohenjo-Daro.
Yes, Mohenjo-Daro, Pakistan. Possibly the birthplace of Hinduism, which is interesting, I guess.
That is.
So around 2600, 2500 BC, the people of the Indus Valley began to build one of the earliest known civilizations of the Bronze Age. Carrie is literally floating away into the sky.
BC means before cats.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Before. Yeah, good. In the 1920s, archaeologists began to excavate the area. The first thing they found that was really weird was a collection of over 40 bodies that were just scattered all over the place that they were excavating. So, like, not a mass grave, but just bodies everywhere for some reason. Like, yeah. There had been some kind of massacre, but the way that they're spaced is very strange.
I feel like this is a Lost episode.
We did a episode.
They get more progressively losty as my list goes now.
Me and Connor McSpadden did an episode of our conspiracy podcast about ancient nuclear war.
We love Connor.
Connor's great. Yeah, Connor's great.
The Sad Dog Winery and Academy. And,
scientists have actually... the way they say this Mohenjo-Daro thing happened, you have one wing of scientists who are like, look at how the bodies are situated. We don't know what happened. And then there's other scientists who are like, they kind of died at different times and body, like,
stuff but they didn't
built
have
up over them. And no, they theorize that these are people who died in some sort of incident that happened. But... The evidence they've used to point to what happened might be fabricated.
What?
But it's also...
But let's talk... So big, freaky enthusiasts of this think it was an ancient atomic explosion.
Yeah, I guess I'm leaving that out.
Yeah, that's important.
That's what our episode is about. It's about ancient nuclear war.
Yeah.
And one of the things that bothers me about this is if you read some of the accounts of people who've debunked the idea that there was a nuclear war... One of the things they say is, there's mud buildings still standing there. If there was a nuclear war, those would have fallen.
Not true.
No, those probably would have gotten baked and made harder from all the heat.
It would have explained why they're still here.
Yeah, yeah. And there is there's a sea of glass kind of thing, which can only be caused by nuclear blasts in the air. It's a whole thing.
No, it's okay. Yeah, you don't have to trail like off. Keep adding.
What is a sea of glass?
It's a thing that happens to sand only when it's exposed to high enough heat where it just basically, and the only thing really that can cause it is a nuclear blast, and it basically turns that whole section of desert literally into glass. Like, it heats the sand so much that it melts into glass, and there are allegedly fields of this
in the area,
this glass in the area, indicating that a nuclear war might have happened in the past.
What if you were walking on broken glass,
like that Annie Lennox song?
What?
It could happen. I love that song. I was just listening to that song this week because I love it so much. I love Annie Lennox.
Can I give you a challenge?
Yeah.
What if
I'm always ready?
Racist Sandra Bullock was showing a home as a realtor. In Pakistan.
First of all, racist right Sandra Bullock would never be in Pakistan. I just want to put
Well, I want to know how she would try to sell this house.
Sandra Bullock, sell this house. Racist Sandra Bullock, sell this house. I have decided to come to this country because it is filled with people of color who have no money. So I'd like to sell you all a home because all of that money is going to go back into their economy. And if you do that, you are a good person. This was racist Sandra Bullock. The other thing about this area is just that they don't know what happened to the people at all. So if there was an ancient civilization, possibly the birthplace of Hinduism, they're gone, though. And there's no real explanation. There's no writings left behind. There's no story at all as to what actually transpired that made this everybody vacate the area / leave a scattering of bodies.
Right.
So it's interesting, and we can just blame it on the vortex.
Yeah.
Right. Or an ancient nuclear war.
But here's the thing, though, is that the ancient nuclear war stuff is tied to the vortex. Because Sanderson believes that alien activity is connected to these vortices.
Oh.
So there's a tie-in between the ancient alien stuff and the vortices. So you're going to see more alien stuff here coming up.
Thank God.
I know. There are, going forward, in all of the locations that we're about to talk about, there are people that have claimed to have seen aliens in all of these areas.
Sure.
So that's cool. This one, the Wharton Basin. Again, lots of boats, planes have gone missing here, but there's really one famous missing plane.
Which one?
Malaysian Flight 370, everybody.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that one.
Mm. That one scares me.
That one is very scary. Here's the thing. What's interesting to me about the Malaysian airline flight going missing in this area is that, and I'll get into this a little bit more later, if you strip away all of the woo-woo stuff about aliens and everything, in these areas, there are weird levels of magnetic fields. And
right.
It would make sense for a plane to go down in one of these vortices because, we know that many have. But when you look at what happened, what they know about the plane, it changed course for some reason. They don't know why. But it might be because their navigation went to shit.
Yeah.
So they just decided to kind of make their own flight path to a place that was easiest to get home to.
But wouldn't they still have communication, like, through the black box?
Well, the black box records everything. You can't communicate through the black box.
But they do with, like, a flight tower, right? Like, they always have communication capabilities with someone.
Well, that's the thing. In these vortices, everything gets fucked up.
Yeah, if your navigation goes out, your communication's probably going to go out, too.
So it's just interesting.
Kind of the same principle.
It's just an interesting thing. Bad stuff happens in these places. So you can either moralize it with, you know, the Taliban, or you could make it ancient aliens. It's just interesting that one of the
most famous...
I choose
to believe everyone on flight MH370 was a sinner.
Oh, well, and that goes without saying, right?
God raptured them.
Now they're on an island.
And the plane.
And the plane.
There's Jack and there's Kate.
But not
and
a
Sawyer.
Good rapture, like
there's
a bad rapture.
Like hot.
Yeah.
Sawyer.
Like
if Blondie made a rapture too.
Yeah.
Like that was...
Yeah, like the leftovers.
Right.
Got it. Okay. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting that
that
found our fabled flight Malaysian, the Malaysian Air 370 in the mix. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Bermuda Triangle.
What?
Located off of the tip of Florida, naturally.
Of course.
Makes total sense.
Just the tip.
The Bermuda Triangle of states.
Here's the thing. The Bermuda Triangle is
the skin tag of America.
No joke.
Yeah.
fleets of planes and boats have gone missing in the Bermuda Triangle. Full Navy ships have disappeared, and that is not nothing. A Navy ship is a skyscraper laying sideways on the ocean. It's a big deal. One of the most famous ones, I like this one because it's kind of ooky spooky. I just thought, I mean, by the way, there are literally hundreds of stories. I just decided to pick one because otherwise, why? We could do a whole episode.
Yeah, it would have been a
triangle.
Whole Bermuda Triangle episode.
But nah, we don't need to do that. The Mary Celeste was made ready on a berth in New York's East River for a voyage to Genoa, Italy. The captain of the ship was Benjamin Briggs, age 37. Briggs' 30-year-old wife, Sarah, and 2-year-old child were also on the boat. There were 7 crew, making it a total of 10 people on board, which is kind of interesting because, like, if a whole, like, fleet of boats go missing... That's not really one of the famous stories. It's like, well, you're talking about thousands of people, but for some reason, this Mary Celeste story is the one that really rises above, and it's only 10 people.
You know what I think, though, is like when they're like, oh, there was like some sort of accident or bomb or something, and one person died. Like, if I was that one person who died, like, I'd give a shit.
Yeah, good point. So it's good that we're zooming in on one story.
We're tightening the focus.
We are. We're tightening
the
focus.
Tightening the lens.
Yeah, we're tightening the lens. Instead of pulling back
the
lens.
We're packing that suitcase.
We're not unpacking, we're packing.
We're repacking.
We're repacking.
And refolding, possibly ironing a few shirts.
Definitely ironing a few shirts. Okay. We don't want to just jam it in there.
Nope.
It's not like we're flying to Indiana.
Not on the tip of Florida.
No.
I'm going to jam that tip in.
No.
You don't jam it in the tip.
No.
That's not how it works.
So basically, altogether, 10 on board. Captain Briggs was very experienced and a very able seaman.
What?
Yeah, I saw that coming.
I actually...
He had captained 5 ships in his career. He himself was an owner of many ships. I just wanted to get the point across because So he knew what he was doing. Everybody on the ship was normal. Right. It was a normal thing. A month after the ship left port, it was discovered off the coast of Portugal, full sail, meaning nobody had docked this thing. It's not that anybody had... Right. There was no hole in the boat. It was... Whenever these people left the boat... Yeah. Whenever people left the boat...
I have a question.
They had left it like they were still using it.
Right.
So if they left the boat, it was very suddenly.
Go ahead, Sherry. Were there still provisions on board?
Yes.
Was it a bathroom where they could just flush it out, or did they have to like scoop it out the toilet, like an RV?
Why do you want to know about the poop on the boat?
Because is it like old poop? Is it new poop? Is it?
It was the poop of the time. It was the best poop of the time. This was
zeitgeist poop.
This boat.
It was the best of poop. It was the worst of
this,
poop.
Yes. Tis a far, far better poop that I do now than I have ever. This was good poop. Everything was fine.
Great poop.
It was great shit. The boat was okay, but everyone was gone. So that's one of those stories that it's just weird.
Yeah. This Bermuda Triangle is also, there's a really famous story where there's the five. Is it Army? I think Army jets. That are they all get lost at the same time. It's a really famous story. They have like a bunch of their back and forth recordings. And those motherfuckers just went missing.
Yeah, that nobody knows where they nobody. So a couple things that they think about the Bermuda Triangle is that there are these huge drop offs in depth in the sea of the Bermuda Triangle. So they think that basically and that's due to like the land moving and platelets and all that boring stuff. So they think that actually like big pockets of gas get released in the Bermuda Triangle.
I have heard this, yes.
And planes will just...
Was the island pregnant?
The island was probably pregnant.
Right.
It's probably pregnant. These big pots pocket... I mean, it explains the planes going missing and some of the boats, but not the navigation being weird. That doesn't explain that part.
Yeah.
Because the navigation failing has been documented. They know that this is something that happens in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, and that wouldn't be gas, but that would have to be something closer to the
that's the magnetic stuff.
Yeah, what's the anomaly that we named in the beginning? The South Atlantic anomaly, which is probably, I think if I remember reading about it, it's in space, but it's a above where the Bermuda Triangle is.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like the area in space where we have the most radiation. So
it's the same
navigation
thing.
When you go through that, everything collapses.
Yep.
Oh, I moved the notes way too down.
No, we're good.
Here we go.
Okay.
There we go.
So that's the Bermuda Triangle.
Everyone's heard of the Bermuda Triangle. I was super scared of the Bermuda Triangle as a kid.
Right. Well, they make it like this big, scary.
Yeah. I feel like in the 80s and 90s, too, they really played it up.
Yeah.
They did.
Hearing the name, it just sounds creepy.
The unsolved mysteries about the Bermuda Triangle really freaked me out when I was
fucking Robert Stack. He's the best.
He really is.
Big D? What do we think? On a scale of 1 to 10?
Stack's got a big D.
Stack's got a stack.
Yeah.
Like an 8?
Yeah.
Like Liam Neeson being 10.
Oh, yeah, but he's definitely not Liam Neeson.
So, like, an 8-7?
Yeah, he's 8. An 8's good.
Okay. An 8's good.
A-.
I'm not upset with an 8.
Yeah.
So you
can't
also
go wrong.
So you mentioned there were thousands whose lives were lost to the Bermuda Triangle, or in the Bermuda Triangle. So I'm curious, like, what statistics, like...
Well, okay, here's what I'll say this. Over the last 100 years, over 1,000 people have been confirmed that are lost in
the
Bermuda
Triangle.
That's
like 10 a year. That's not bad.
Well, that's...
10 a year? That's bad.
10 a year?
If there was a neighborhood in L.A. where 10 people
like
a year went missing...
That's like one a month.
But also not... That's just missing. That's not dead. Like, there are some... There are just wreckages that they've documented, but...
But you say have lost their lives. Or somebody lost their lives.
You're right.
So I'm just trying to figure out how they got those statistics. This is very interesting to me.
I don't know. I don't know, Carrie. I really don't know. I don't give a fuck.
Exit surveys.
Exit surveys. Okay. So we got some more megaliths.
Don't give a fuck.
We've got.
I don't know why I found that so funny.
We got the Easter Island megaliths.
Here. There we go. We fingered. That's good. The Easter Island megaliths. There are no missing people in this story. Just mysteriously large ones.
Right.
And I find this really interesting to be part of the whole story here, because it's not that, well, first of all, they don't know much about the people that actually made the Easter Island heads. They don't really understand right. how that all happened. But many people around the world believe that the statues at Easter Island were put there by aliens. Here's why. They were carved using picks called basalt picks, which I kept reading as bath salts as I was going over my notes. And they were carved from solidified volcano ash. They are an average of 20 tons each, measuring right. 20 feet high. For a long time, we thought the heads were the only right. part of the statue. And then somebody one day decided to just start digging around one of the heads, and they found that these things are 20 feet high.
Yeah.
So two things. They don't know how these things were made, and they don't know how they got buried. Like, they don't understand anything about these at right. all. So it's just interesting.
And they're kind of cool to look at. Like, yeah. I mean, I think everyone, even if you don't, if the name doesn't ring a bell, once you see them, you'll know what the Easter Island megaliths
they look,
are.
They look really tribal.
Yeah, they look and tribal, but they don't look completely human.
No, they do not look human. And it's a weird-looking thing. So I don't know how they would... And it's weird that there are so many of them. I forgot to write down how many of them there were, but...
There are a lot.
What's the theory?
Aliens.
Aliens.
That's the theory. It's always aliens. We can thank Sanderson for that one. He yeah. just, that's the button.
I mean, I'm
he puts
sure
on
other
this.
People have put theories forward also, but sometimes I hear other people's theories like refuting the aliens, and I'm just like, yeah, that's just a theory
you
too.
Just
I don't believe
want aliens
you.
To be a thing.
I want aliens to be
no,
a thing.
The,
yeah, yeah.
The people refuting it, I'm like, you just don't. You're no fun.
Yeah,
that's your
you're
biggest
no
problem.
Fun.
You're no
you're
fun.
You're just a narcissist. And you I'm think not... the world revolves around you.
Well, and honestly, you know, the Easter Island megaliths kind of get tied back into the pyramids in general. They still don't really understand
right.
how all of this is here. And they found cities under the sea. They can't figure that part out either. So
right.
That's a whole other podcast. We can do Under the Sea.
We should do an Under the Sea.
But now we're going to the opposite of Under the Sea. We're going to the North Pole.
The North Pole.
The North Pole is one of these vile vortexes. They basically, there's one very famous group of people that have gone missing here. And also I should mention a ton of planes have gone down. Countless planes have gone down.
The Dahmer Pass.
It's the Dahmer Pass of the
Donner
North.
Pass.
It's the Donner Pass of the North. That's
the Dahmer Pass.
Yep. Dahmer. But
it could be I the Dahmer.
It makes sense.
And guess what? I didn't even miss a beat. I was like, Dahmer Pass. I agree with Carrie.
Then when I corrected myself, you corrected yourself.
Yep. Because we're a team is what we
I
do. We're ride
it.
Or
I'll
die.
I'll just regular.
Yay. Just, oh, I love you.
I just.
Oh, wow. She clenched.
I think I just cuckolded.
Yeah. You cuckolded yeah. my index finger. And guess what? I'm fine with that. That's fine.
Thank you.
Okay, so the North Pole, the most famous disappearance is when 129 men went lost in
so
an
I feel
expedition.
Like that's a lot.
I'm with Carrie on this.
All of them went lost. Like, all of them went missing.
But, like, in one...
One swoop.
One fell
yeah,
swoop.
I feel like that's a lot.
Well, for 150 years, they didn't even know what happened. But what they know now is that all of their compasses didn't work because they found journals.
So was it like a hiking expedition?
Yeah, it's like a fact-finding group. And they basically had no idea how impossible it was going to be to survive up there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But they got lost because everything that they used to navigate went AWOL.
So we're thinking that like it was in the 1800s when football started, right?
Right about when football started.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Right around the launch of the NFL.
And they were all football players.
They're yeah. probably scouting.
They had CT
yeah,
locations.
They, all
they got lost.
Yeah.
Do
so
we need a
happened.
Franchise up here in the
yeah.
North Pole?
Well, right. they still do.
They should have.
Right. Yeah.
They do.
It's an underserved market.
It is. They didn't find out again for 150 years later. We know that there was a lot of death, cold, and eventually cannibalism.
Ooh. Yum.
Yeah. They, you know, whether or not they were stopped by something sinister, we'll never know.
Right.
I don't think it was sinister. I just think, again, that there are pockets on this planet, and we're going to get to something here in a minute, where shit doesn't work.
Yeah.
And that's okay to say. Like, I don't see the point.
Now, is Antarctica North or South Pole?
Antarctica is the South Pole.
South Pole? I'm just wondering where the North Pole is.
I think it is the South Pole.
The Arctic and then Antarctic is the South
Pole. Oh, there it is. Sure.
All right. So speaking of the South Pole.
South Pole.
Yeah.
So this is where the Nazis moved. Go on.
Funny you should say that, because basically, instead of going through every single thing that I wrote here, they have recently discovered a pyramid here.
Creepy.
And on the one hand, you have scientists saying it's not a pyramid, it's a freaking mountain. But if you look at the picture from Google Maps, which I know you're going to now that
I
brought
sure
it up.
I'm sure
going to
look that up. South Pole Pyramid.
Comes right up.
Filled it in for me.
Look at those images. Yeah.
That's
I mean,
a fucking pyramid. Yeah. What are they trying to fool? Mountains don't form that way.
No, no. That's a pyramid. So.
Okay. So, yeah, there's people there.
Yeah. Well,
living under the ground.
Or at least there were. And there is a theory that there are people living under the ground. Or there is a civilization under there.
Tell me more.
That's the theory. That's all we know.
Because Sandra Bullock, how would you sell that house?
You have a lot of room to raise your children.
Yes,
there is,
you do.
You do not. You will not. Your view will not be impeded by any other property.
What is? Do the pyramids around here? Do they appreciate or depreciate the value of my pyramid?
Well, they will only appreciate because even though the global warming is a myth, I can tell you that in about 10 years it will be much more habitable here. So I would just say get in now. You should buy now.
Okay. And do they have a good sports team in the area?
It all depends on how you feel about hockey and snowshoe. But I will tell you, it is a robust culture here. It is a robust sports culture.
I'm sold.
Okay, great.
I like it.
Anyway, so here's the thing that's interesting. So this thing is covered by snow on each side, and the find has prompted theories that what is now the snowy caps was actually inhabited by humanity. So the other thing they're saying is that because of global warming, we may be seeing more of this kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
So stuff that was a lot old, like, was there a long time ago that, I don't know, got right. snowed over. Guess what?
So maybe the caps happened when there
it.
Was another melt and everything.
Yeah, totally possible.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So evidence from the surrounding area indicates the climate was not as cold as it was today. So
that is interesting.
There you go. Naturally, people think aliens put it there.
I mean, that's the answer I want.
Right.
Obviously.
Like, well, it's like the idea, I guess, is that aliens kind of kickstarted the human race in all these like weird spots on the planet. And there's a whole, you could do a whole thing on pyramids because there's people, you know, they draw these weird schematic maps of, oh, well, these pyramids are all in these important spots on the planet. And they are. Some of them are in the good vortices. And some of them are in the vile ones.
Mm.
But there's a lot of weird structures in these places.
Interesting.
Yes. Okay.
Let's talk about Hamakulia Volcano.
Okay.
Let's do it.
According to believers, there is bad mojo attached to this volcano. And planes and boats have gone missing. According to scientists, the trouble spot is actually in the ocean itself, northeast of Hawaii, halfway between... Ooh.
The Mura'u fracture zone and the Molokai fracture zone. I don't know why I gave that like a little.
That was really cool.
I
though.
Feel like I put
you,
like a little Korean tinge you, on that.
No,
weird.
Yeah, it was 100%.
You went full tiki room on that.
Yeah,
that
okay.
was amazing.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Trouble spot, is that like a G-spot?
I'm going to make us some spam after this.
Thank you. Okay, so this is a good time to talk about this. A vile vortice. These are areas on the Earth's surface that have been naturally occurring anomalies due to the planet's natural electromagnetic fields being stronger in these parts than any other parts in the world. The reason why this is great that it's up against a volcano is I feel like it gives me impetus to say something very important. So this place has an obvious electrokinetic effects. The flow of the fluid through the layered volcano rocks generates literal electricity. Like, you can see
right.
it. You can see things happening in the air that you can't see in anywhere else. And it generates all these amazing fields. So the science of studying these fields is also a way of studying volcanoes. So my question is, instead of dealing with all of this like it's dumb paranormal crap, wouldn't it make sense to just study it and save lives?
Yeah, like, yeah.
That's what I don't get, because... You can, I mean, I know I make fun of it like, oh, it's aliens.
Right.
But people keep dying.
Yeah, yeah, obviously.
And the only people on the planet that are willing to fully recognize this are the Japanese, which is why we're about to talk about my favorite vortice here, which is the Devil's Sea.
Well, the Devil's Sea.
She gave up her answer for favorite.
I know. I'm sorry.
You said you were going to.
What?
I was ready for it.
Okay. The Devil's Sea is a triangle between Japan and the islands of Bonin.
I knew that was happening. The islands of Bonin.
Yep. Finger me.
That's hot.
When did you join a fraternity, Adam?
I feel like we did.
We are one. Trust me. It's also included in that is a major portion of the Philippine Sea. It's also called the Pacific Bermuda Triangle as it lies exactly opposite to the Bermuda Triangle and is noted for the most a very similar pattern of paranormal phenomena.
Weird.
Here, the ships and the planes have disappeared mysteriously. Many have seen ghosts on these ships. God, I fucking love the Japanese. They're like, that's a ghost.
Yeah.
they don't even give
they
a shit.
They do like ghosts.
That is a ghost.
A Japanese Wenri Brewery tour, ghost tour would be my favorite.
Me too. The Japanese therefore call it Sea of the Devil, which is fucking rad.
That is really great.
What's it called, Adam?
Mano Umi.
Yep.
Good job.
I couldn't have done that.
This area has been documented for literally centuries. So these people have been like, that shit was weird, that shit was weird, that shit was weird, and they've written it all down, and I love it. So, okay. The name dragon originates from the old fables dating back to 1000 BC. The Chinese believed that there was a huge dragon in the sea that pulled ships and aircrafts to satisfy their hunger.
Oh, what if that's really what's happening?
I would be so happy.
Just dragon. Good boy, dragon.
Yeah, good boy, dragon.
Good boy.
Yes. There are many stories about the disappearances of seagoing vessels and the air and aircrafts. In the 1200s, Kublai Khan's... Okay, this is fascinating. Kublai Khan tried several times to invade Japan by crossing the Devil Sea. In this process, he lost his vessels and 40,000 men in the area of the triangle. In the early 1800s, many have claimed to have seen a mysterious lady sailing a ship in the sea. Just a fucking creepy ass lady. Many people have said they have seen this person.
I would love to be reincarnated as that lady.
Yeah.
You probably can. I'm assuming it's a revolving
boat life.
Yeah.
Boat life.
Boat life. In 1952, when a research vessel called the Keomaru number
Hold on. Adam, can you?
The Keomaru number 5.
Thank you. Set out to look into the strange phenomenon in the area. Unfortunately, they didn't get any answers. Instead, the ship and its crew of 31 people mysteriously completely disappeared. Here's what I like. In response, the Japanese government declared the Devil Sea unsafe for research and transporting. The Japanese love their spooky stuff for real.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's the right response. You should be like, hey, everybody's dying there. Just don't fly your planes.
I just find it interesting that globally everyone's like, yeah, calm down. But these are the areas where people just go away.
Right.
Your next bullet point, I mean, that number is a lot to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When we talked about the Bermuda Triangle earlier, I was getting my facts confused. This is what I was thinking about, which is like, this one is thousands and thousands.
So
of
you
people.
Said in the period between 1952 to 54, 5 Japanese military vessels were lost with over 700 people. In 2 years,
yeah,
that's a lot.
See, more than 10 a month, 10 a year.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not great at math.
No, you did great.
I'm working on it though.
Well,
every
day. When lives are on the line, you are. Anyway, I just think this is an interesting thing.
If I was
a
Japanese seaman, what?
What? So the next time you're flying anywhere, just try to see if this thing's going to fly over one of these vortices and then don't take that flight. Seriously, don't take that flight.
No, just take a Xanax.
Don't get on that flight.
Take a Xanax and eat a bunch of Pringles and you'll be fine.
Don't do that. If you know anyone else on that plane, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
But if you're flying with Caitlin, you'll be fine.
Yeah. This was fun. I mean, it was mysterious and enlightening.
It is mysterious. That's what this podcast is about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Being mysterious.
Oh yeah, we're really.
So, which one was your favorite?
I like the Devil's Sea. I like the Devil's Sea.
You did seem to like the Devil's Sea. I liked that one about Yasmin Bleeth.
Oh, it was a good vortice.
That was a good one.
I also liked the one about the flight. It was something Basin.
The Meru Basin.
No, I started with the sea.
Okay.
Okay. The Wharton Basin.
Wharton Basin.
Oh, it was. Yes. Which isn't a sea at all.
No, that's not a sea at all.
Yep, there we go. All right.
Hey, do we have anything to plug before we get out of here?
Just our podcast, White Wine True Crime. You should totally listen to it.
You should totally listen
maybe
to it.
Somebody's butt with like a...
Oh, boy.
No, what's it called? One of those butt plugs from Harry Potter.
The Harry Potter butt plug?
Can you plug it? Can you plug it in Werner Herzog's voice?
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Butt Plugs.
We did it.
We did it.
We did it.
Come to our Glendale show August 23rd.
Come to...
C-U-M to our Glendale show August 23rd.
Don't do that. That's gross.
Carrie told me I had to.
Get out of here, Caitlin. You and your pregnancy nerdiness?
Carrie said I had to.
Yes, you have to.
August 23rd, Caitlin Cott will be there doing comedy.
Yay! Her last show is a pregnant lady.
Not
right
for the
she's
last
a mama.
Time, but no, just the last time for a while.
That's what I said as a pregnant lady.
Yeah.
Right? Before.
Yeah. It feels like the last time.
It won't be the last time. You'll be back.
Time.
You're too good not to be back. You know that as your dance mom?
I know.
You can do whatever you want with this. I'm trying to finger you, but you can do whatever you feel comfortable with. It's like...
Oh, my finger's on the ground. And also, you know, that's all.
That's all.
We've plugged everything. Let's get out of here. Carrie, say goodbye and finger me.
Goodbye. I'm going to forget the... Where's that gilded horse?
Caitlin, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Ooh.